Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew 1, verses 1 through 5a. A record of the ancestors of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Aram. Aram the father of Adinadab. Adinadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So last week, we started a sermon series called Scandal in the Family, looking at the genealogy of Jesus found in the first chapter of Matthew, particularly looking at the women's names who are found in the genealogy of Jesus told in Matthew. And so this morning, we're at the second woman who is mentioned in this genealogy, Rahab. Now, most of us as children in Sunday school, we learn about Jericho. We learn about Joshua and how Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. There's a song that goes with it, and we know the story. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. So the story is that God gave that battle over to Joshua, and he marched around the city walls for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they marched seven times and blew the loud blast of the horn, and they shouted, and the walls fell down, and the people inside were confused, and they were to overtake the city. That's how I learned it in Sunday school. In Sunday school, I wasn't taught the integral part of this story that Rahab played. In fact, it wasn't until I could read the story for myself that I realized much about Rahab at all. Rahab. She was an independent woman. She didn't have a man to take care of her. We talked about last week how important that was in society at that time, that men had a role in everyone's life, and she didn't have a man in her life, so she had to make her ends meet on her own. Let's say Rahab was a second shift worker, a lady of the night, an independent woman, an outcast in the city. She actually lived between the city walls. At that time, city walls were built with an interior wall and an exterior wall, and there was a space between, and there were people who had their houses between the city walls. It's interesting that in researching a little bit about Jericho, that archaeologists actually found that when they removed the rubble, they began to see that the walls of Jericho had fallen, except in one little spot on the north side of town. And in that particular place, the walls had remained intact, and the houses within the city walls on the north end survived. I love it when science is able to show us how something in the text is true. I just love that piece. But her house, even the place she lived, was a witness to the fact that she lived on the outskirts of society, that she was an outcast. She was barely inside the community. Her location, the don't ask, don't tell nature of her business, made her the perfect place for the spies to find refuge. So what's happening before this? Moses, he had died, and Joshua was given leadership, and it's time to enter the promised land because the Israelites have been looking for 40 years, and there's lots of anticipation. And so they send the spies into Jericho, and the king gets word of this, that the spies are there, and the king gets tipped off that they may be at Rahab's house. And so Rahab says, okay, you go to the roof, I'm going to protect you. And so she went to the door, and the troops are there, and they say, have you seen these men? And she said, oh, I've seen these men, yes, I've seen them. But they're long gone. They knew that the city gates were going to close, and so they have already left. So she said, go that way, go outside of the city gates and keep going, and the faster you go, the better you're going to be, because maybe you can just catch them. And the troops said, oh, okay, that's a good plan. And so the troops headed out of the city gate, and the gates closed behind them. She goes up to the roof and she says to the spies, she says, I know that your God is the God. And she begins to profess her faith in God. Now, she's a Canaanite woman. She's not an Israelite. She hasn't been steeped in the tradition. She hasn't heard the stories. The only story she's heard of is word of mouth that God has protected God's people. And this is what she says in Joshua 2:11. It says, we, meaning the people of Jericho, heard this and our hearts turned to water because of you. People can no longer work up their courage. This is because the Lord your God is God in heaven and above the earth below. She professed, she said, I know that this God of yours, I know that this God is powerful, and I want you to help me. I'm going to help you, I'm going to protect you, and I want you to help me. I want you to help me save my family. So I want you to promise me that when you take over this city and you kill people, that you're going to take care of me and my family. And they said, okay, deal. They said, this is what you're going to do. After we leave, you're going to get a red cord and you're going to tie it in your window, and everybody that you bring into this household will be safe. This is our pledge to you. Now, I always wondered, like, why red? Like, I don't know. We don't have the detail. Maybe it was just what was laying around. But when we begin to think of red, we think about the red light. We think about the scarlet letter, and we have this little tiny detail of red, and yet we don't know why. Perhaps they just saw it laying in the corner, and they were like, that is what you need to tie in the window. But that is what we know was the thing that gave the signal that everyone in that house would be saved. So then she says, okay, I live in the city walls, so I'm going to let you out this side of my house, which is going to be free to go on your way. I'm going to lower a rope and you're going to sneak out. And I love this part, okay? This is how fun scripture is to me. Do you have a rope in your house right now that could lower two men down that is exactly the right length to help them escape? I don't. Why does she have a rope like that? I don't have that. She's either the first Girl Scout who was always prepared, or she's been doing this before. So anyway, she says, I'm going to put you out on the other side, and I want you to go hide for a few days. Go the other direction, and you're going to be safe. But remember me. Remember me when you come. And so in Joshua 6, this is what the scripture says, and this is from 22 to 25. Joshua spoke to the men who had scouted out the land. Go to the prostitute's house. Bring her out. Bring out the woman from there, along with everyone related to her, exactly as you pledged to her. So the young men who had been the spies went and brought Rahab out, along with her father, her mother, her brothers, and everyone related to her. They brought the whole clan out, and they let them stay outside of Israel's camp. They burned the city and everything in it. They put the silver and the gold, along with the bronze and the iron equipment, into the treasury of the Lord's house. Joshua let Rahab the prostitute live, her family, and everyone related to her. So her family still lives among Israel today because she hid the spies whom Joshua had sent to scout out Jericho. This very unsuspecting woman was the woman who helped Israel in the midst of their going into the promised land. So what is it that we can learn from Rahab? What stories can we kind of glean, or what can we glean from this? First off, it's very interesting to me that she had such a heart for others. Rahab did not live with her family. That would not have been particularly good for business. So she lived on the outskirts of society. Perhaps her family probably did not condone maybe what she was doing. They sure weren't proud of it. They weren't saying, hey, y'all, here's my daughter. They were probably like, oh, her. Yes, yes. But she cared for them. She said, I know what's coming, and I need to protect my family. I need to protect the people that I care about. I wonder how that went. I wonder how that conversation went when she went to her family's house and she was like, all right, y'all, I know I've been a disappointment here, but I got some news for you. I'm going to save you. Like, what was that like? So unsuspecting, not the person in the family that probably they thought would save them, but yet she did. When we are given the opportunity, we too should care for others. In Philippians 2, 1 through 4, it says this about how we are to live. Therefore, If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking in the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others better than yourself. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. We are trusted and entrusted with the care of others. Even if we are disappointed in them, even if our relationship is stressful or challenged, we are trusted with the care of others. We are made to live in community. God made us to live as relational people, and He expects us to care for one another. Relationships aren't always easy. In fact, true relationships can be hard. They can be challenging. They take a lot of work. Sometimes they're draining. Sometimes they're hard and difficult. And other times they bring joy and life. Relationships are work, but they are important to us. They nurture us. They help us to live in community. Our family and our friends and our community, we are made up of imperfect people, yet we are still entrusted with other people's care. Sometimes that looks like being nurturing. Sometimes that looks like a call for accountability. As Christians living in the family of God, we are to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just in this place, but in the world. We are called to be people who have care and concern for others. Sometimes that's challenging. It's challenging to care for people who have different perspectives. It's challenging when we come from different places and have different nuances to our lives. It's challenging when we live with people with different abilities. And we are called to care for and nurture one another. Other times it's super easy. These are the people that we love. But either way, we are called to be a people who care for others. Rahab could have said, "Y'all have put me out here on the outside of the city. You have turned the other way. You have not respected me. Y'all just go ahead and whatever happens, happens." But she didn't. She said, "I have care and concern for the people that I love. And despite what has happened, I know that I need to care for those people." She had compassion and she cared for others. Beyond just our family, we are called to care for one another. Rahab's story tells us a lot about not letting our past define our future. Rahab was not the most respected woman in town, but God used her to change the lives of many people. God loved her, not for where she had been, but for who she was. Rahab had a revelation of who God was. She had heard the stories, and she began to believe, and she saw the effect that just these spies coming to town had on people, and she began to see that there was a revelation of who God was. She didn't have the stories. She didn't have the background. She didn't know completely who God was, but she had a small revelation. Here's the beautiful news for us. We have an even bigger revelation of who God is, because we know not only the God that Rahab began to know, but we know God revealed in and through Jesus Christ. And that is a revelation that she wasn't privy to, but that we have. We have an incredible revelation of who God is in Christ. In Romans 3, 22 through 24 says this, "God's righteousness comes through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, for who all have faith in him. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but all are treated as righteous, freed by his grace because of the ransom that was paid in Christ Jesus." We are people living in the Easter season. We are Easter people, knowing that Christ died on the cross and was resurrected, and that changes our entire life. Knowing that Christ took on our sinfulness, our brokenness, and made us righteous through our love and belief in Christ. The sacrifice of the cross and Christ make us new people, transformed. You know what that means? That means our past, our sinfulness, our mistakes, our brokenness does not define our future. I am sure there was a moment when Rahab thought, "They're not going to want me. I've done things that I'm not really proud of. There was probably this inner monologue of her thinking, I don't know how I'm going to live into this new community, and they're going to know what I've done. And let me tell you, the scripture's pretty clear. Joshua said, hey, y'all, we got somebody coming. Guess who she is? It wasn't hidden, but it didn't define her future. She didn't let what happened before define who she was going to be. She lived in the hope that if she trusted in this God, that these people of God, would love her and that she could live into something different. Her life was transformed, and our life is transformed in and through Christ. We don't have to be the people that we were before. We don't have to carry that with us because God has a big and bold and beautiful future ahead of us, but we have to let that go. Rahab let that go, and she moved on with her life, and the story changes from before to after. Do you see that? Before, she was a prostitute. That was pretty clear what she did defined her. But after that, she lived into a person who became the lineage of Jesus. She was remembered for her faithfulness, not for what she had done previously in her life. She allowed herself to live into the future with hope. She also demonstrated her faith. Time comes when we have to put our faith into action. Rahab not only confessed, she confessed and she said, I know this God. I believe in this God. I am scared of what's going to happen here. I understand and I have faith. She not only identified that, but she lived into it. You see, she risked something when she went to that door. When she stood in that place and lied to those troops and said, those men went that way, she risked her own life. Because if they would have come in and found the men that she had hidden, she would have died. She risked her faith in that moment. Now, I don't believe she got up that morning and she was like, all right, so I'm going to risk my life today for God. I don't think that was how it happened. I think it was much more organic than that. I think that as the moments went on, she began to identify, this is a place that I am going to step out in faith, and I am going to put this faith in action. Action is the result of our faith. It is lived out in the world. It happens in unexpected times, in unexpected ways, but it is what we are to do as people who believe in Jesus. We can't just say, God, I love you. I really believe in you. We have to do something about that. We have to live that out in the world. And very, very rarely will you wake up in the morning and say, this is the day that I'm going to live this out in this particular way. But as we do live into the world, God gives us opportunities to live out that faith. In James 2:18, it says, someone might claim, you have faith and I have action. But how can I see your faith apart from your actions? Instead, I will show you my faith by putting it into practice in faithful action. Rahab, she put that faith into action. She verbalized it with her mouth. She did something about it. She risked something so that she may put her faith into action. Rahab was a long way from perfect. We could have a laundry list of things that probably weren't quite right in her life, but she was willing to trust God. She was willing to believe that God could do all things, and she allowed God to work in her life. She cared for people along the way, and she lived into her faith. We're sitting in the midst of a room with a whole bunch of imperfect people. Thank you. I love it. It's not about what we're doing on our own. It's about what God's doing through us. Rahab made a choice. She allowed God to work in and through her. She allowed God to take her crazy, imperfect life and do something pretty amazing with it. Joshua, he gets the victory of Jericho. But really, it's Rahab who had that personal victory of life transformation. She lived into a future that was so much different than her past. She trusted that God could do something amazing with her. And she knew her imperfections. As those of us who are imperfect people know that God can do amazing things with you, amazing things in the midst of and sometimes because of your imperfections. Not so that you have the glory, so God has the glory. But there are choices that we have to make. Are we going to allow God to do that? Are we going to step out in faith when that moment comes that we have to put our faith into action? What are we going to do? Those are the critical moments that we make choices in life. When she walked to that door, she made a choice to allow God to work in her life. She blessed a nation because of that. She is remembered because of that. And her life was transformed because of that. As we step foot into the world, as we put our faith into action, may our footsteps be guided by the Holy Spirit, that when that moment comes, that we too will put our faith in action. God's grace is amazing. God does amazing things with very, very little. And God can do amazing things with imperfect people. That is the story that I continue to hear as I walk through the lineage of Christ, that God does amazing things with imperfect people. And I want to hear that message because I am imperfect and I want God to do amazing things with me. I invite you to allow God to take all of your imperfection and do amazing things. For God is a God of grace, a God of love, and a God of hope. May we all rejoice in the fact that God loves us enough to take our imperfections and do amazing things. Amen.